cold in Colorado. With up to 500 newton meters of torque, it won't look new for long. Welcome to the Saturday Rub. Triple M rocks football.
So they're going to the middle of the ground here, both sides collectively. And they're going to form a circle.
Oh, yep. This is brilliant.
So Buckley and Clarkson with arms around each other. One Collingwood player, one Hawthorn player, one Collingwood player, if you know what I mean.
That's brilliant.
Now they're taking the silence in the middle. Heads are bowed by every player and the two coaches. Crowd now sensing that and have gone, as you can hear, quiet with them.
Hopefully this will be the precedent for the rest of the round. I mean, the crowd has certainly responded. The players certainly have.
That was brilliant. Yeah. Clarkson and Buckley together. Orchestrating all of that.
And what it's saying, I think, is this game is bigger than rivalry.
Yeah.
It was a moment that will forever be etched in my mind as one of the more, you know, telling and touching, you know, tributes. And look, I want to thank Alistair Clarkson and Nathan Buckley and the captains of both clubs and the playing groups of both clubs to coming together and linking arms and providing a tribute that I think touched everyone that saw it.
And a very good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the MCG. We're here today for Richmond taking on the GWS Giants. It is the day after the most tragic day probably in the history of the game. And we say metaphorically, the sun always rises. It is grey, overcast, and rain continues to fall. It's almost as if someone upstairs is saying that we will continue to remember Philip Walsh and the tragic circumstances that surrounded that. The voice you heard there this morning was Andrew Fagan, the CEO of the Adelaide Crows, on Triple M this morning, just acknowledging what was, I think, will be one of the most enduring memories in the history of AFL footy. And I'm not just saying that to try and make a big statement. To sit here last night on the back of the day that we had and to watch a game that was, in my eyes, the most ferocious for the year, and then to see Alistair Clarkson and Nathan Buckley, the two coaches, come together, put their arms around one another and then marshal their players, who were also arm in arm and alternately placed. So they did it with a deal of thought behind it. I'll say it again, it will be an enduring AFL memory, and in 10, 20, 30, 50 years to come, it's a story that we will be proud to tell as part of the AFL community. Welcome to you, Brian Taylor, Danny Frawley, and also to Damien Barrett. We will talk about this big game today, Richmond and GWS Giants, but we'll also reflect on a really significant night last night. And let's get straight to the coach of the Collingwood Football Club, Nathan Buckley, whose team did themselves, they did themselves proud last night in the way they performed. Didn't get the points, but they performed magnificently during the four quarters and even more impressively after it. So, Bucks, congratulations to you and to Clarko for the way you went about it.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, it was... Yeah, as you said, a solid match, but a bit of a harrowing day. Yeah, I think all of us were in a little bit of a haze throughout it, but Clarko, you know, came across before warm-up and suggested, you know, the events post-match, and covered off with our captains, and the four of us were aware of what was going to take place. And I thought it was a significant gesture and a reminder that we're all just flesh and blood playing a game of footy that we love.
Yeah, correct. Wait, you kept your boys out there for a period of time after it. Was that a continuing of the message, or was that more about the game that you just played?
Oh, a bit of both, mate. That was the post match. We I suppose we changed it up a little bit depending on what's happened and what the lessons are to take out of it. But I thought whilst we were out there we'd actually obviously been able to put it in perspective, winning and losing is ultimately what you're judged on, which is interesting because there's a lot more that is important than that behind the scenes. So we keep focusing on those things and we're getting a lot right, and it'll come for us in time.
Now, I just want to back Gary up, Bucks. I thought throughout your footy career, it's been glittered with, Best and Ferris and Brownlows and Norm Smiths, and now you're a very good coach of the Collingwood Football Club, but I reckon that's going to be at the top of the tree as far as what you've done on the football field. I've got no doubting that down the track, but you'd be wrapped with the boys the way they went, Bucks. Obviously, you didn't get the 4 points, but I thought your tackling pressure and the way you made Hawthorn actually play their absolute best footy to beat you must give you a lot of confidence going forward with this young group.
Yeah, you're right, Spud. I mean, we're playing some solid footy. We're connected with each other. We know how we want to go about it. For the most part, we've got all of the players that are tipping in and understanding their role within our plan and within the way that we want to communicate to each other and play our footy. And I think that's shining through. I mean, I think it's pretty strong. If you're observing us at the moment externally, you're seeing a fairly consistent performance. And we've got a lot of growth in us, but internally we're talking about the right things and we're focusing on the right things and we're getting the best out of our individuals and what they're capable of now, and we only think that can improve.
I know you don't want to focus on individuals, but one individual in the opposition team, it must have been frustrating because you did most things right, but Surioli's probably played the best 10 possession game ever last night. Just to keep Hawthorn in the game and then to win the game.
Yeah, well, I think that puts him to about the sixth or seventh best 10 possession games you've ever seen, because they're always seem to be him. I mean, once again, we sort of think about footy as quantity, not quality, and in the end, it's the smallest roles can be the most important to the result. But Rioli's performance was significant. The contest against Marley Williams, who basically never loses a contest, where he was desperate enough to stop the ball and stop the momentum when we were a very good chance of going back inside, and turned it around, and all of our players had anticipated that we were going to at least half that contest and had made position accordingly. The ball goes back the other way and we still dug in, but it was a fairly easy goal to Bruce with the minute 40 to go. So I mean, Rioli does things like that, wins the unwinnable, he's a constant danger. I actually thought that that our small defenders, who each had their own time on him, actually played pretty well across the four quarters and did the job as well as they could. But when you come up against the best opposition, you're gonna get nutted in contests here and there, and that's what happened last night.
Bucks, the side's obviously got your fingerprints all over it, and it's very much a developing one. It's a young one. A lot of decisions made a few years ago when you first took the reins, and a lot of people, and probably myself included, are thinking, why is he doing that? Heath Shaw out, Daisy Thomas out, even Beams of recent time, Lumumba, the list goes on and on. But you're able to get those guys out at a time where they were still valuable, and you're able to get first round picks for them. And I think that's now cutting through to performance, and the culture at the club has changed dramatically.
Yeah, look, I've been in there, BT, so I've seen it grow, and I'm the senior coach, but there are plenty of people that have contributed really heavily to where we are, and some of them are no longer at the club. But I don't think it's really easy from outside just to say that it's black or it's white, it's good or it's bad, it's old or it's new, but it's never really that way. I mean, You've all been involved in footy clubs, and it's an evolution. It takes time for things to build. Things aren't as cut and dried as they might seem externally. So we've worked and valued all of our people. We've grown and developed together in my time as a senior coach and in my time as a player and a member of the footy club. So I don't think we need to go back to what we were. We're very proud of our history, even the short-term history and even further back. So we want to acknowledge that we don't ever separate ourselves from that, but we're very confident that we're heading in the right direction. We've got the right people, some young, hungry men that want to see where they can go with their footy careers, and they're looking at each other and looking after each other in the process.
Speaking with Collingwood coach Nathan Buckley. Nathan, last week, 7-point loss to Fremantle. Last night, 10-point loss to Hawthorn. Very, very, very good efforts. But does there come a time, even within this season, that you're going to tire of the admirable loss?
If you're looking at win-loss, then ultimately, I mean, they'll add up one way or the other. But, we're still improving. We're still getting better. Each time we take the park, whether it's in training or in games, and we can see
we can see we've got great attitude and great effort across the board, and if we keep that up, there'll be improvement in us. So as long as a senior coach, if I'm looking across our program and I'm seeing people and players that that want to be better and continue to bring their best to the program and to the games, well, then yeah, you'll never tire of that. So I mean that's it, but that's our challenge. We just need to keep improving, to keep working on our game, to keep taking those 1%ers in our program, looking after each other better if we can, physically, mentally, emotionally, and yeah, as I said, you'll never tire of that. So the results look after themselves beyond that.
Yeah. Do you tire of the goal-kicking issues you've got? Again, it was apparent last night. Cloak, 1-4. White, 2-2. Both got enough of it. Both got plenty of it in that forward line context, but let you down when it came to the crunch in front of goal. Have you spoken to them last night about what they did?
Yeah, in isolation, I mean, there's no doubt that it was a factor in the game. I mean, if we'd have kicked as well as we have for the most part of the year, we win that game. So there are so many elements in it, and you need to get them all right, and they need to come together against the best opposition, against any opposition. But you know, it's been a really strong element of our season to date, our capacity to hit the scoreboard and to take our chances when we get them. But last night clearly wasn't the case, and you know, we'd rather look at the body of work over the last sort of 10 weeks than just get caught up in one event.
Yep.
Hey Bucks, two debutants last night, which is always exciting and great to see. Maynard composed and handled himself really well, and Darcy Moore will be relieved to get the first one out of the way. You didn't have Grundy last night. You didn't have Kennedy. It was an emergency. You got depth. Can you tell us definitively where Scharenberg and Freeman are at? Because, I mean, these two kids were just so talented, and for various, all injury related, they haven't been able to get on the park. But they're playing, I think, Scharenberg certainly. And would you hope to see them at some stage before the year's out?
Yeah, well, there's only 22 spots in the senior side, and as we get towards the end of the year, we will settle to make a run at whatever the second half of the year looks like for us. I think that's what every team sort of needs to do. So, but at the same time, we will always be in, you know, for the next 2.5 years, I think we'll be in an exploratory phase to see sort of which players are in that top mix and are capable of playing the brand of footy that we need to against the best teams. Shaz has been first class last 5-6 weeks at the VFL and has taken steps every week. Just seen his body come back underneath him, his physicality's improved, his agility, his confidence running around, his ability to run out the games, decision making is unquestioned, and his use and his diligence and understanding of the way that the game evolves and pans out. So he's an exciting talent, but we don't know when his opportunities will come. They may come later this year, they may not, but we'll take that as it comes. Nathan Freeman's he's had a really bad run with injury. He's still battling that hammy and a neural problem in it. We're working through it as well as we can with him, and as you might understand, for a young player, it's not just physical questions that he's asking himself. It's he's actually wondering, he's doubting his body a little bit, so we've got to work through that with him, but we're not putting any particular time frame on it. But when he's ready, he'll be right to go, and then he'll have a chance. But until then, we'll do our best to get him up and about.
It is exciting times, no question about it. To go, you're outstanding as well. You've won over everyone, I think, Bucks. The last little piece of the puzzle fell into place last night, and if you've got a minute, I'll just have you, Brian Taylor, who's been a strong Malthouse man. Let's just have a listen to a slight concession he made last night.
So Nathan Buckley is winning back people left, right and centre. Were perhaps a little iffy on him, Swanna,
Names?
I was a bit of a Malthouse man, but, you know.
And who was?
And thinking, what the hell
is
have they done?
Is that an apology?
No, it's not an apology.
You make the concession.
I'm enjoying.
Oh, boy.
I'm enjoying the world.
Oh, boy, while we.
And I'm with you, Bucks. And I am with you.
Well, I'm not sure if you're aware.
Rock solid.
But I'm not sure if you're aware, but the only reason I've been doing what I've been doing is to try and turn you, BC.
Oh, you're almost
well,
there, Bucks.
I'm telling you, Bucks, you have turned me in a big way, and you have done an excellent job. And, Gary, I'm happy to say I was
good,
wrong.
Good, good.
Yes. About time, Brian.
Needed to hear. So Bucks now will enjoy as best he can, given the circumstances. Mate, if you go and give your kids and your wife a hug, mate, and enjoy the rest of the weekend.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, let's all do that. Thanks, Mark. Yep.
Nathan Buckley, coach of Collingwood, and they were magnificent. We'll talk about the Hawks, where they're at. We're going to talk also to... Do you take my sheep, Brian?
No.
Who else we talk? Where's my sheep gone? So this is what happens when I have to do everything.
All right.
Well, Mark Rusciutto is going to join us as well.
I've got just a little query about the... how we got here today.
Damien Hardwick, also the coach of Richmond, Phil Davis. The captain's going to be up here, as I said, Mark Rusciutto. And, has Spud got a query?
It'd be good if you could succinct it for us, Spud.
To be fair, it's pretty hard to be really, really happy at the minute. We're happy to get the 4 points, and we're just looking forward to just taking a deep breath. It's been a really tough week for our footy club. Obviously, today was... the saddest part of the week, without a doubt. But having to deal with the roughy stuff was pretty tough for our players too.
That's Alistair Clarkson, and he's a genuine statesman of this game. There's no question about it. He and Nathan Buckley orchestrated one of the great moments of all time, I reckon, post-game. What gets lost, no, it doesn't get lost, but pushed to the side in terms of where it sits in importance, though, is the game. Both sides, 4th and 5th Hawthorn, going in 32 points each. The Hawks, we still think, are going to contend so strongly, but they need, you would imagine, to finish in the top four. So the victory last night was just so important. And look, they went to the three-quarter time break 9 points up, but no one in the ground thought that they were home. Collingwood kicked the first three goals of the last quarter to White, Swan and Blair. They got to 9 points, and right then... their season is, you know, never teetering, because, you know, they are probably the one side that could come from eighth and still make a real run at it. But they want to be in that top four, and they just found a way. Rioli, Suckling, Bruce, 10 points, siren goes. We concentrate on the most important thing, Philip Walsh, but, you know, not today. We reflect on the win, and I think it was the most ferocious game that I've seen for the year.
And you said during the call last night, Gary, that it was a poignant fact that they just couldn't quite inch their way in front, Collingwood, often enough, you know, and that was a deliberate thing that Hawthorn set out to do.
Yeah, and look, you can mount a case in the end and say the Collingwood run lucky, their goal kicking, but the bottom line is, for all of how dangerous Collingwood looked and for the goals that they missed at pivotal times, for 99 minutes of that game, Hawthorn led. 12 minutes, Collingwood were in front. So that's the bottom line, stark reality. Damo, you've been slow. We're going to talk Hawthorn, but I just want to quickly get your thought on Collingwood. You've been slow to embrace them, and understandably, you said, I want to see them against the best sides.
Yep.
They've had two super competitive games against two of the very best. Have you changed you at all?
Yeah, it's certainly changed me. It's diminished my, doubts on them, but they're still there, Gaz. And I did put it to Nathan Buckley. I mean, it's okay to lose admirably, but at some stage you've got to win. You had that Fremantle game of last week and last night's 10-point loss to Hawthorn. It was round, whatever it was, 8 or 9 or 10 against Richmond, where they lost by 5 points as well. So, I mean, what is it now? They are 8 and 5. I mean, had they been 9 and 4 as Hawthorn is, I'd be less doubtful. But look, they were very good. They were there to win last night, and they didn't.
The expectations internally from Collingwood at the start of the year would have been definitely, in fact they were, to sneak into the 8. And to somehow find a way to get into the 8.
Yeah.
Their peak predicted year, make no mistake about it, is not this year. It's probably not even next year. It is 2018.
But sometimes you've got to take what's in front of you, BT. I reckon you can sometimes look at 2018 right now in 2015, and 2018 never comes when you think it's going to.
But I reckon the
moment is here for a team to burst into this top four this year. We're going to talk about Richmond soon, and that they could easily burst into it too.
But they won't.
Collingwood should be doing it. Why not? How do you know?
Well, because Collingwood themselves don't genuinely believe they think they will.
Gary thinks Fremantle can't win it, even though they're 11-1. Yeah, Hawthorn's got some doubts.
My opinion is that they haven't set themselves to win this year. It is a slow build.
What are they doing? There's a season of footy alive and able to win.
Something can jump out of the box and all of a sudden take off, and that can happen on occasion. We've seen premierships won from teams that we didn't think could win.
Maybe it's Collingwood this year if they do it.
But I'm just stating a fact. that they actually believed that they, if they snuck into the eight, that was a good slow build that they're
looking for. So what you do though, mate, what you do though is you readjust on the run. And that might all be all good and well at the start of the year, saying a top eight finish would be nice. But Domain's point's very well made. There is the opportunity. We've already got 13 games out of the way. They are contending. So the readjustment may be internally, okay, that was our goal. Now let's set the bar high.
I think but
they're where I thought they'd be.
Yeah.
They're right where I thought they'd be.
I thought they'd be a little bit behind. And with when Beams left, I think all the supporters, including the coaching staff, thought it's going to take a couple of years. But they've got DeGoey and Crisp for for that trade. Now, all the Collingwood supporters would go home last night and this morning watching the tape and you know, having a look at. They are in front already on the Beams deal by the length of Flemington Strait.
Nine possessions to DeGoey the first quarter, six score involvements, and pretty much went head-to-head with Hodge.
And Beams going okay at Brisbane, don't get me wrong, but they would be, and they won't say it, Collingwood, but they're well in front of that deal.
I know
what they didn't at the time.
I know what you're up to, Damo. You want to pump and put a bit in them and get them overinflated, and then you just want to go bang.
I don't operate that way, BT. Others may in the media. I don't operate that way. What I don't like, BT, is footy clubs though that look so far ahead that the time never comes. This year, I actually think Collingwood, if they readjust as Gary is suggesting they should do, should now say top four is minimum. Because
but the only thing with that, Damo, is the reality of footy clubs is they do look ahead. That's how they have to build a club. That is a reality of footy clubs that all list managers will sit there and say, "What is our? When is our peak year going to be? Given the normal circumstances, and yes, things can arise."
No, I understand what you're saying, and
they actually put their premiership team up on the board. What's it going to look like in 2018? Here it is. If it happens a year earlier,
but every club does that, and the time never comes. Brendan McCartney had that view, and look at him; he lost his job.
The Dogs this year. I mean, everyone said, "Where are they? They need the grasp." They say, "Maybe it wasn't this year, but it's there, and we'll take it."
It's the style of play that they play, Collingwood, and as I said,
it stands up.
Well, you look at their back line with Williams is just about all Australian back pocket. You've got Jack Frost, who'd be in the top four defenders in the comp, I would have thought. He's very rarely beaten.
Is he that high now?
Oh, no doubt. I love the way he plays. He beats his opponents and comes off and helps. He's got sheer speed, and he's an absolute ripper. He's going to be there for the next 11 or 12 years. They'll just slot his name there. We don't care who you play on. You're full back. You can play on small and tall.
I agree with you, Damo. They have a style that is, and whoever said that a moment ago, conducive to going well. But,
I'm over here, Brian.
But they are young. Therefore, what happens with young players is you get inconsistencies.
Yeah.
And so I expect that's what we'll see a little bit of this year.
What about the still to come, though? He's heard of, I think Bucks misunderstood my question with Schoenberg and Freeman. I just wanted to know where they're at, where they're playing. Really? And they obviously are. Freeman's not. Schoenberg is. Schoenberg, Freeman, Grundy, Kennedy, Reed. All didn't play, and that's what's to come over the
next doubts season. On Reed, though, guys, surely.
But I don't know. You throw him in as the sort of steak knives at the end.
He's like a Christmas present if he plays.
They're in good shape. Let's just talk about the other mob, who are also going okay. Without Jared Ruffhead in that side, without James Frawley, who's out for 4-6, they have got to come in the next couple of weeks. Fremantle down there at Aurora, which is going to be huge. And then they go to Sydney at ANZ Stadium.
That's a lovely one.
That puts the win last night into some sort of context. So a massive 2 weeks. They run home. Carlton, Richmond's going to be tough. West Coast over at Patterson Stadium. Geelong at the MCG. And then Port, Brisbane, Carlton again. So, I mean, it's never been an issue for Hawthorn because they always have to beat the best sides, but they just keep getting it done, and they are marvellous. They are marvellous.
Yeah, one thing they've got in their favour is they've got the second best percentage in the competition behind West Coast, so that's nearly a game. So just about, if they can win more than they lose on the way home, and it's a tough run, they'll still finish top four, so you wouldn't want to be playing them first week of the finals.
Anyone got them out and outright favourite for the flag right
now?
No,
I haven't.
No, I've still got the Fremantle Dockers up there, the doubts, Gaz,
Can I have two, Fremantle and Hawthorn?
No, you can't have two, Brian.
Well, I'm going
to. No, you can't.
Those two will play in the grand final.
And where have you got Collingwood after all that, when it's all said and done?
What about Sydney?
When it's all said and done now.
Collingwood will sneak into the eight.
What about Sydney?
No, they've got to set themselves higher than sneaking into the eight.
You asked me a question, though. I might give you an answer.
Well, you're giving them a very easy pass mark.
Because
you used to be realistic about
your
pass marks.
I'll tell you why, because I'm expecting a little up and down along the way because of the age.
I think Sydney flying under the radar. I like Sydney. Look,
I've got Sydney right up there.
Big fine day here at the MCG.
Right up there.
They've been touched up.
Scoring potential.
No one talks about Sydney. They're second on the ladder.
You and I, Spud, are on the same wave.
They'll be there. They'll be in the big dance, and they'll be tough. They'll come with all guns blazing, the big Sydney.
There's a degree of solemnity about today and over the next couple of weeks, but there is an issue. We're going to talk to Mark Rusciuto next, and that's going to be tough going too, given how close he was and the role he played in getting Phil Walsh to that footy club. But then we'll have a little bit of fun because Spud's got steam coming out of his ears.
There's a pecking order. I won't go there.
I'll tell you what, Spud, I've just about had enough of you already. You're chipping in, you're coming over the top of me.
Hey, Brian.
You're disagreeing, you're saying you don't know what you're talking about. I'm already filthy on you.
What time did you get in here for our pre-meeting?
I got here at 1 to 12, pre-arranged with the snorkel.
Well, you didn't tell us.
I went out to do an interview for you guys.
For us.
Which we'll be, I think, playing a bit of that interview.
You did an interview for us.
I don't think so.
I think we get somebody the exclusive else. Interview,
it
do we?
It mightn't be a audio interview. It will be a descriptive interview for himself. So,
enlighten me, Brian.
We hear the shocking news about Philip Walsh. Your mind turns to the people that would have known him best or most, and certainly from my point of view, and I imagine a lot of people at Triple M, turn straight to our great friend Mark Rusciuto, who's the footy director at the Adelaide Crows and was pivotal in the appointment of Phil Walsh. And it goes without saying that he's been in our thoughts and our hearts and with him and our sympathies, and he's been kind enough to join us this morning. Roo, welcome to you, mate.
Yeah, how are you, boys? All right?
We're doing what everyone is in the footy world, mate. We're trying to get by and the best we can, but from your own point of view, I can't imagine how difficult the last 24 hours have been.
It's been more shock than anything. I mean, we all go through and experience death in different ways, whether it's illness or accident, but murder's a different one, isn't it? And that's sort of probably the thing that probably a lot of people have been talking about, trying to understand how and why something like this can happen to someone you know so close. So I think, we've been trying to tell the boys there's no right or wrong way of dealing with it, just sort of go with it, but they've got all the resources possible and all the care and support they need at the club. So they got together yesterday morning. They were together, they took off in the just after lunch, so they had yesterday afternoon to themselves. Last night we got together around at the chairman's place and had a couple of beers and a bit of a chat, and this morning they're back down together at the football club doing a few exercises, and then they went out and had a bit of a light training session with a bit of fun for an hour or so, just really being together. They'll have this afternoon off. Tomorrow we'll be off, and then Monday they'll be back on the horse and get back into it and prepare for a game of footy next weekend against the West Coast Eagles away from home, which will be probably a good thing as well to travel together. And West Coast Eagles, obviously a club that he was there for 5 years, so they'd be feeling it as much as anyone as well.
Roo, I know you played the game at the toughest possible edge of all time, but our thoughts go out to you at the moment, and I can hear it in your voice. How are you travelling, mate?
I'm going all right, Spud. I've unfortunately or unfortunately had a few of my best mates die, a couple of them through footy. One died on a Wednesday, and I had to be captain of the team on the Saturday or Sunday afterwards in the first final, so I've experienced what they have gone through, and that's what all I'm trying to do, Spud, is help them get through and help them, you know, try and understand or what to do or what not to do this week, because you know, they're 18 to bloody 30, it's a young age, and if you haven't been through it, that's the hardest bit. If you've been through it, sometimes you can understand it a little bit or try and work through it. But everyone at the club's going really well. I think they had a bit of bubble in this morning, a few laughs. I think what happens, well, I know what happens, is you steel yourself through. You've got to focus, whether it's a game in 3 days or a game in a week. You get the job done, and quite often when the final sign goes after that, your job's done, is when you get a bit emotional, and the other times at the funeral, when you see the coffin going down and you know reality's there, that's that's the next hardest time. But by the looks of things, that's going to be the week after next. So that's going to be a huge week as well, the showdown. He was at the Port Adelaide for 11 years or something like that, I think it was, but a long, long time. So, you know, and that's Port's home ground. That's going to be another big event with a funeral and a showdown that week. And I think the week after is Richmond, and he was there as well. So this could drag on for a while, which is good and bad, but we've got to monitor that too so the boys don't get too drained.
Rui, within an hour of finding out this tragic news, you were at work. You had to go to work. And you knew, and you had to carry that under your lid until all family members were informed. Just how difficult was that?
Yeah. I got a phone call 5 to 5 from Rob Chapman. I was at Triple M at 5 o'clock. Chappie had already been going on it for an hour. You know what? You sort of don't really know it's real when you get told. You boys have probably already all been through it, like a lot of the listeners have out there. You don't really think it's real when you get told someone's dead. So it wasn't that hard for me, really, BT. You sort of just do what you got to do, and I just made out it wasn't really happening until, you know, it become known on TV. Me and Chris Ditmar were sitting there, and Ditz hadn't worked it out, although he was coming across the radio that a 55-year-old male, high-profile Adelaide person had been murdered. And then it come on the TV with his picture, and you know, I saw the blood rush out of his head. You know, I already knew, but there was shock around everywhere when the name was released, as you can well imagine.
I don't know how you did that, Mark. I heard you on radio yesterday, and then I heard, you know, speaking to people from the Adelaide station.
You were texting me, Damien, saying there's something happened to Phil Wild.
Yeah, and I was saying to Gaz last night too, Mark. I mean, I wasn't asking that for news. It was just, like you say, when you hear that, you can't believe it. And I felt almost bad sending it to you, but I just couldn't believe it. And I didn't want it to be true. And yeah, but I can't believe what you did, and you handled yourself so professionally. But there was obviously a stage yesterday where you felt you then needed to be with the club and the players. And that's what the Triple M guys in Adelaide had said. So, yeah, I mean, well again, I know you don't want any credit for what happened there, but I know they got a lot of solace out of your involvement in it. Mark, look, this may be too soon to answer too, but obviously you mentioned the game, travel aspect of next week's game. David Noble, Rob Chapman last night said that he'd been told to, quote, take control. Will he maybe even coach the team next week, or do you not even address that until tomorrow?
There'll be some information coming out tomorrow, but I think what you've got to do, Damien, in a time like this is not make too much change.
Yeah.
And we've got line coaches there. We've got development coaches who can step up. Nobes is footy manager anyway, so he can oversee the whole lot. I doubt whether he'll be the head coach, but he'll have a very, very significant role to play. But that'll all come out tomorrow, all that wheels in motion there, and I don't think that'll be a big issue. Everyone will just have to step up a little bit and take over. But we don't want to change too many people's roles, because that's when you're going to get confusion and you know, different voices, different players, and that'll be a mess. But we'll make sure that won't happen. But just back on the media thing, you talked about me knowing. I just want to give a bit of a pat on the back to a lot of people. I know a lot of people knew for a long time before it was released yesterday, and when family members are involved or whatever, and you know, the daughter was overseas, I think everyone was respectful yesterday, and I think everyone needs to be respectful this week as well for all the players. I mean, the Phil Hughes tragedy was in everyone's face for quite a long time. I just think we need to be mindful of that this week. And I've said on radio already this morning too, I don't know about you boys, but it's on the front page of papers, on the back page. Kids are asking about it. They don't understand, you know, how a son can do what he did to his dad. So we need to make sure people out there are communicating with their kids and youngsters about trying to let them understand as well, because it doesn't make much sense to the adults. So I've been struggling a bit as well.
You're 100% right, mate. We're going to let you go. I wanted to play you something. I don't know if you're an NFL fan.
No, I'm not. I don't get time to watch the sports too much.
There's a man called Cam Newton who is a quarterback for the Carolina Panthers, signed a contract for $100 million and is just about as big an athlete over in America as you're likely to come across. And we fortunately had him in the box last night, which was great. He's here courtesy of Gatorade, and we had a really good chat with him about a whole wide range of different issues, and he was engaging. And I wrapped the interview up and was about to say thanks so much for joining us, and he just asked if he could say something out of the blue. I want you to have a listen to what he had to say.
I was heart-stricken by the news, and I was saddened to hear about Mr. Phil Walsh.
Yep.
My hearts go out to his family. Very traumatizing to hear such a story. A man that was well-respected in this community. My hat goes off to him.
You get an understanding of how wide-reaching this is, isn't it?
We didn't ask him to say that. He just asked us if he could say
it. No, he volunteered it. Yeah. And as we said, regardless of who it is, but I'm just trying to put it in context, he's his biggest sports personality over there, and he wanted to pass on his best wishes too. So we're all with you, mate.
Yeah, good on you, boys. You have a great day, and it'll be an interesting few weeks ahead, and it'll be. I'm sure it'll all be handled the way it should be. So, good on you, boys. Have a good day.
Good on you, Rook.
Well done, boys. Mark Ricciuto. Class act, as always been. And as we said, no right or wrong, no right way to handle these things, but he's doing as good a job as you could ever possibly do. Just on Cam Newton, had a text through from our good mate, Big Hutchie, Big Bug Warner. Because social media did go nuts and it was full of class. You saw him this morning.
Yes, Bickle. I did
He's
see him
down
this
at
morning.
The Richmond Footy Club.
And straight away he went, bang, yes, you were the guy from last night, drew the connection. And he said, I just wanted to say thank you for the opportunity for the last paragraph he said last night, which was in reference to Phil Walsh, of course, and how much he enjoyed it. So for him, number one, to remember that and then remember the interview was outstanding. He's been shown around the Richmond Footy Club.
And Hutchie says here, sends an article to me, a link. Cam Newton made a trip to Charleston 5 days after 9 people were shot and killed by a 21-year-old man, a white man at the Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church. Anyway, and he tweets here, why didn't I go? That's the thing I would have had to question myself if I didn't go. I'm happy I did it, and so much respect to those families who lost their loved ones. So I guess it would have resonated very strongly with him. And I tell you what he has done. He's won a whole legion of fans here in Australia for the way he conducted himself last night. So full credit to him. Now, Damien Hardwick's going to join us very shortly. Not quite there yet, but I guess Spud, when someone abdicates the throne, and James has been the leader of the Triple M radio team for a long time now. To walk out in the middle of a footy season, he goes to the bottom of the pile. Yeah. And when I say bottom, I'm talking under Chua.
Yeah.
That's where he sits.
Even the techos.
Hello, Chua.
Even the techos.
The techos are in a whole different category.
They're under them.
They're more important than everyone because we can't go to air.
Techos looking you in the eyes, when you're saying
that. That's right. No, they do an outstanding job.
So the Wolfpack want to know where he is. Well, I'll tell you where. He's having a holiday.
Yeah, he's in. He's taking selfies. We know he's overseas somewhere.
Someone saw he said he's taking one of
taking
his
selfies.
Foxy Instagram photos.
He's swallowing a lot of volcanic ash.
Yeah. So anyway, I've assumed control, and straight away, what do I always do?
Go to your wingman.
Exactly.
Which is me.
Exactly right.
And I hope Lee Simon and Cathy Thomas are listening here, because I think this needs to go straight to the top.
I'll be coming with you.
Straight to the top.
Monday morning will be, isn't it?
Yeah. Gaz, you're number one. I've got no doubt in that. I say that unashamedly.
True now, for sure.
I think JB and the way that I was able to get Plugger on last week and the way that my brand has just shot through. 1,500 extra Twitter followers, Brian.
Well, got him when I was last at Triple M 5 years ago.
Interview of the year.
Yeah, and
of
it's going to win a media award, Patrick Keane said, if we don't put it in.
He's already said it will.
It will, I'm looking forward to that night. I think it's you MC it normally, Brian. And then, so I sort of put me on the level with JB. Now, JB's out, so I just assumed this week I went to the mailbox and I think the car park ticket, because there's only two per week.
Of course.
And I said to Anita, it's fantastic. I washed the Colorado yesterday and I thought, it'll be good because I'm going underneath.
Come and sit down next to park next to me.
And, of course, I normally go into the rush hour.
Gotta make it quick because Dimmer's listening.
Okay, the rush hour. So Monday, Wednesday, Tuesday, I'm waiting for the mail. Yeah. Didn't go to the rush hour. I thought I'll go down to the post office, the certified mail.
Even quicker than this. Yep.
Nothing.
No pass.
No pass. Now, Brian, did you get a car pass?
Okay, here's what I'm going to do.
All right.
Yeah.
One of these two have got it, and we're going to get to the bottom, because this is a big issue that we'll get to the bottom of, but not big enough to keep the coach of Richmond waiting.
We need him.
let's go down and deal with that first. Dimmer, thanks for joining us, mate. Hopefully you got a car park.
Yeah, seriously, Spud, if I get those 2 minutes of my life back, I'll give you mine.
Come on, Spud.
Dimmer, they said at the start, the producer said, you're not on yet, so I apologise.
Yes, yes.
I was getting to the punchline, mate.
Anyway, you got there in the end.
Good result. Good luck today, mate, and obviously obviously mixed emotions. You, as I said, I don't want to straighten it up, but obviously you played under when Phil was there as assistant in the premiership years. So it's a different time for yourself getting up this morning for a game of footy.
Yeah, it was an incredibly traumatic day yesterday. It was one that obviously struck me with disbelief, like many other in the football community. And
It was a sad day. So, look, he's an outstanding man. You know, well ahead of his time, I think, you know, when I played under Phil, I had the 3 years there. And, you know, he was going about his business, what we're doing now. So he was an innovator by trade, an outstanding man, and he's going to be sorely missed.
You've obviously got Lady there as well. I'm not sure whether Troy Chaplin was there when Phil was there, but it must be... Do you mention it to the playing group? Because it's affected everyone in a different way, and even if the players didn't know Phil, they know the enormity of this tragedy.
Yeah, I think the football community comes together as one, and we can only see that signified last night by Hawthorn and Collingwood, how much it meant to us as a whole. And, you know, we've got a number of people here. We come from a Port Adelaide flavour, so to speak. You know, Choco, obviously, Blair Hartley, Brendan Lade, myself, Matt Thomas, these type of people. We've got a lot of Port people here that were shaken. So we did speak to our group yesterday and explain what sort of man he was and what he stood for. And, you know, we can just pay our respects and our deepest sympathies go to the family, because it's a traumatic day in AFL footy yesterday.
Damien, just moving on to you as a club and Richmond, you won five of your last six. You're obviously in good form. I've seen a lot of the games this year, and there are some games you go to and there's not noticeably a pattern or a way in which a side plays, but you guys have really constructed a type and style of play that you can go to the footy and you can see exactly what you're trying to achieve. You must be rapt that the players week in and week out have been able to, small lapses, but been able to construct that every week and carry out your requests.
Yeah, I think so. It's probably a sign of maturity. Our group's started to be together over a number of years, and it's probably the same style of play that we've seen, you know, for probably the last 3 years overall. We're probably just doing it better at stages. Yeah. That's not to say we have lapses, like you said, Brian. You know, we still turned the ball over even early against Sydney last week, and, you know, those sort of mistakes we'd like to rectify. But it's a sign of a maturing group. It will come in patches at various stages, and you only got to look at the, you know, the tell of a Hawthorn side last night that probably didn't play exceptionally well, but they got over the line winning ugly, and that's probably our next step also.
Damien, much discussion around the three-pronged big man forward line, Revold, Griffiths, Vickery. Do you lock that in now for the remainder of the year, or do you continue to do what you have done to this point and just a horses for courses situation?
Yeah, it's a little bit like that. Probably the thing that has helped us in that one is, look, Jack obviously has played up the ground before, but we probably get a greater consistency out of Ty and Ben, which has been terrific. They're all different players. You know, Ben's very athletic, and Ty's that more beacon, stay at home, and Jack probably plays as a chaos forward as such. You know, I'd love to say I can control where he runs, but he just does it very well. So we're really happy with the way those three are going at this stage, but that's not to say we won't change it up going forward.
Sure. And a similarly themed question in terms of what you do by way of locking down. Deledio's role, we've seen in recent weeks spending a lot of time forward. Do you bed that down with a percentage of game time forward for him, or is it, again, just whoever you're playing and what the game requires?
Yeah, he'll probably play the majority forward. I think the thing we like about that is he dictates a matchup at various stages. He's a very good mark, as we know, so he can go deep out of the cage. But, look, he's got the flexibility in his game and the insight to put himself midfield, wing, half forward, you know, deep forward at various stages also. So we give him a licence to do that, basically to influence the game where he can from wherever he can. So, yep. But at this stage, he's probably going to play the majority of his footy forward to the centre.
Hey, Damien, last week watching the Sydney game, Ty Vickery, there he is, lining up for a set shot at goal. His dad, who's the interchange steward at Richmond, is standing in the interchange gates. An infringement has occurred, of which who knows what's gone on with. But
that's a massive mistake by the AFL.
It was, absolutely. Did you have a bit of fun with that during the week between the two?
Yeah, we did. You can imagine Ty and his dad have got a great relationship, as you can imagine. I must admit, I was giving Johnny a burst as I came down, but obviously, you know, in Joey... Johnny Vickery, an old bouncer from various nightclubs. Yes. I did keep a wide berth when I was giving that spray, but listen, just one of those mistakes, unfortunate that it happened, and we move on pretty quickly.
Dimmer, the sign of maturity of your group today, I'm really looking forward to the contest, because in the past, the winnable game seems to be a little bit tough. So you've had a fantastic win against Sydney. There's no change to your team, so everything's going well. But GWS can't be underrated either, can they?
No, they can't. Look, they've got a couple of key personnel out. Mumford's obviously a huge loss, a couple of backs, but the majority of their side is there and they're very, very dangerous. You know, I came and watched them here at the G versus Collingwood and they're probably a little unlucky that day. Their run and carry was something I hadn't seen like. They look incredibly quick, they cover the ground really well and they're probably just a little bit off that day about getting inside 50. So they're incredibly dangerous. They get up in paddocks, so we've got to keep an eye on that. But, you know, if we allow them to play that run and carry game that they do so well, we're going to get beaten. So we've got to try and take that away from them and limit them as much as we can.
Hey, Dimmo, as we let you go, the scenes after the game last night, I said off the top, I think it would be one of the enduring memories of footy for a long, long time. Is it something that you would contemplate today or was it standalone last night?
Oh, well, look, it is. It's something that the AFL have approached us to do at the end of the game today. And look, I thought it was fantastic last night. It certainly brought a bit of a lump to my throat. And I think that's the one thing the footy community do incredibly well. You know, we lost one of our own, a great man. And yeah, we'll be looking to recognise him at some stage at the end of the game.
I think that'd be sensational, mate. And I hope it happens at every game across the round. Good luck today, mate.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
Damien Hardwick, coach of Richmond.
Is he gone?
We'll see that. Hang on with this story. Just hold fire. Those scenes that we saw last night with the Tigers and the Collingwood to be replicated today after the game with the GWS boys and the Richmond boys and the two coaches, which I reckon is magnificent. Mm. And hopefully that is the nine games, or will actually be eight because we already had one on Thursday. And then that's going to be those scenes. You can have photos, you can have montages. They'll be replayed and it'll help us all deal with what's been going on. So well done to everyone involved.
Just a text message I've just got through here from Stephen Goff from the MCC.
One of the great men.
Yeah.
Yes, Brian, you can have one.
No, hang on. Is it no. Brayshaw sent through a photo no. of him too.
Oh. Jim I demand Ray, answers.
Sitting out on the beach. He thinks it's funny. We think it's pathetic. And leadership 101. Don't ever desert your troops.
Yeah, and if he's got that car park still at home somewhere, it's a disgrace.
Well, what happened?
Well, every week... Finish this story
because Dimmer wasn't impressed with it.
Yeah, no, get stuffed. Well, we know you haven't got the ticket anyway because you're ranked about six or seven. So I'll ask you, have you got the ticket?
No, the car park ticket. And I'm a clear three in the normal set.
Is that right? Okay, well, let's get the Wolfpack to nominate that. You reckon you're a clear three?
Clear three.
Yes.
Okay.
Get on. What is it? Is it?
And the Wolfpack, you reckon you're a clear three?
Clear three.
Give us the new rankings, given that Jim is now behind
you. I'm two then.
You're delusional for us.
So Chua is now down the bottom. Bristol, are you in the rankings?
Now, BT, did you get the car park?
I don't rank myself.
Yeah, I know. But did you
anyone
get...
that ranks themselves is a wank.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. I agree with that. But did you get JB's car park today? I know it's trivial.
No, I didn't.
Brian,
can you look me in the eye, Brian, and say it?
I want to put it straight to you.
Yeah,
I'm in the car park.
Yeah,
but I didn't get it.
Okay,
from
you've got it from Channel 7.
No, he wouldn't have got it from Channel 7 because he's on tonight.
Alternative ways of acquiring.
It's a Fox game today, BT.
Not,
so you wouldn't
not
have got
through
it.
A printing company. Or not, no.
Sorry,
I'm speaking to the wrong bloke.
Brian.
WTF, Spud.
Brian, who's got
the ticket?
No
then?
Right to be in the car park today.
No right.
Well, look, I was here late and I had to have clear and fast access.
Yeah, well, you got here at 1 to 12.
When I drove in, I just about ran
over
the attendant.
Well, Lee Simon, if you're listening, like, and I know...
So did you get one, Spud?
Is that what rocking horse crap.
Are you actually driving?
That's what
here?
He said to me, Lee. Yeah, I didn't get one.
You didn't get one?
I just assumed it was going to be sent out in the mail or certified mail.
And it went
and to... And the walk over from Punt Road...
It went to BT.
I still get a car park there.
Yep.
At Punt Road. So, you know what? It actually works in well because after the game, we finish at 4:30.
Yeah.
You'll be stuck in the car park.
Don't point at me. I would have come and picked you up.
But I've got news for you. I've got to go slightly before the finish time.
No, you won't. I just cannot believe the fact that Lee Simon has... Oh, look at JB. Is that what he's just tweeted?
Yeah,
Jim Barron Bay.
Have a look. He's got no package for us.
Describe it. But.
Well, he's got a real... What would you call the hat?
Smack hat.
A smack hat. He's got the singlet on, trying to get guns. Now, when you put your arms up, you've barely got...
It's like a double
bicep.
Cobra.
Yeah, nothing. Just,
he's done
just
a,
straight arm,
he's done
nothing.
He's done a double worm.
Tuck shop arms.
You know what he's turned into? He's turned into... A fat, skinny man.
Yeah,
with no muscle.
Good
He's got
point.
No muscle whatsoever. So he's one of those skinny guys that looks good in a suit.
Well, we don't really.
But if you take his shirt off, it's
sloppy.
The empty wallet's hanging over his 40s.
He used to be bulky, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. What? But now he's half wormy.
What? Was he a bit...
And he's got
bulky?
That...
You know that? Well, same bit, well,
he's a soft. He's a soft gut. So
you know what he's got? He's got that... Oh, I can't say it on air, but C-smack smile about him.
Yeah,
that
real
smack, wanky type.
Tommy Tourist look about him.
He's got... Have a look at... You can see... It's a shame we can't get the profile on the side, because... There's a little bit of Mark
pot
Stephen
guts.
Pot
gut
there.
Yeah, pot belly.
If you put it on the side, there's a little bit of pot
well,
gut.
That's so what happens when you sit by a pool and drink three bottles of red wine on their own.
And
well,
a few, whatever they're called over there.
Phil Davis to come very shortly from the GWS, Richmond and GWS here at the MCG today. For Holden, let's
rankings
go there.
Rankings are coming through, Brian.
Yes. This is the Saturday rub. Just keep them coming. Here's James Lake with another M Sport update. I hope I'm not included
good
in the
for
rankings.
You, Russell.
I don't
You'll
want
be
to
up
be in
there,
the rankings, and you can stick it right your crack.
Hang on, you came in third here, Bristol. I'll tell you what, the rankings are going nuts at Triple M Footy. The Packer got involved here.
Snorkel's amongst it.
Now, Snork, like this one, Wolf, Daylight, Spud, Brian, Gangbuster, Snorkel, Chewer, Regional Operator, Regional Operator, Regional Operator, Jim. Down there. Wolf's like Hawthorn, always on. Spuds like Richmond, good on his day.
Hey, they're very consistent.
And then said Warriors, the Gold Coast Suns of the Triple M commentary team. No.
What does that mean this week?
Oh, well, I don't know. What have you been doing? Bristol, you've been getting a couple of mentions.
And below the belt. Guys, just on that, and you'll introduce our next guest, but I saw a Warrior talking to our next guest say, make sure...
Mm-hmm. I said it in front of you, Spud. I
Make
said this
sure
in front of you.
You put me in front of Spud.
Well,
so
let's introduce,
talking for
let's
three
introduce
or four minutes.
Our next guest, the captain of the GWS Giants, Phil Davis. Good enough to join us. Welcome there, Phil.
Thanks for having me, boys.
Bad luck you're not playing, by the way. You'd much prefer to be out there. But
good day for me. I wouldn't mind being
next
out back
best option being in here with us, surely.
Yeah, this is a good way to spend my Saturday afternoon.
Hey, let's get the serious out of the road, first of all. You've got people involved in your footy club who are very close to Phil Walsh. I speak mainly Chad Corns and Dean Brogan. There may be one or two others. How's the whole club handled this, and how are those two boys?
Yeah, obviously it's been a pretty traumatic sort of 24 hours in the footy world, and you know it touched a few of our guys a lot more than others. And you know we sort of got to the club yesterday morning, and as it was all sort of breaking, and you know I ran into Chad, you know went over and said g'day and see how he's going. And, you know, you could obviously see the heartbreak and the emotion in him, and same with Dean. So you know, it's been a pretty rough time. You know, I'm pretty close with a fair few of the Adelaide boys as well, and you just, you know, your heart goes out to them, and in particular, you know, Phil Walsh's wife and the whole sort of family. It's a very, very sad time. It's sort of, you know, footy's such an insignificant part of the scheme of things when things like this happen. So, you know, our heart goes out to all them, and, you know, it's been a really tough experience for a few of our guys.
Well said, mate. Difficult circumstances. Mm.
Today's game, mate, obviously you know you're not down there, Padfield, Mumford. Is it an opportunity for youngsters, or is it, you know, a game you're desperate to win to try and get back in the eight?
Yeah, I think, you know, probably the bye, being honest, probably came at a good time for us. We sort of, our last sort of two games, we played a really good half against Collingwood. We had a lot of opportunities to win that game. We just couldn't put together four quarters, and we were probably a bit poor against North Melbourne. So, you know, the bye came at a good time. I think, yeah, we've got some good youngsters coming in, but I think it's a big opportunity for some of our experience. By experience, I mean the Dylan Shields, Adam Treloars, and Callan Ward in the midfield in particular. It's a big game for them. And Richmond have got a great midfield. They've got a lot of stars that roll through there, so it's going to be a huge challenge for us. And, you know, we think our forward line's pretty much intact, and, you know, we can kick a good score. So we need to be able to work as a team to compensate the three big keys that Richmond have got.
You've played on all the gun forwards throughout the last, you know, 7 or 8 years of your career. How good can Cam McCarthy be? I'm obviously you'd be up against him at training. How good can this kid be? Because at the start of the year, his improvement's been outstanding.
Yeah, he's gone out of sight. I must admit, I probably thought he was still a couple of years away from playing consistent senior footy. And I was just saying to Purple before, like, he's just going off basically natural talent at the moment. He just sees ball, leads well, got good lead pattern. He's a beautiful kick. I think one thing you don't know about him, he's actually an elite runner. He'll eventually be probably a 10-minute 3K, sort of that sort of area. You know, he came off under-18s, he broke his leg, and so he slipped to 14, I think. And, yeah, I think he's going to be a super player. I think we played him at half-back flank, a running half-back flank last year. Now he's playing key forward, and I think he's kicked 30-odd goals, and, yeah, he's got a huge upside.
7 wins for the first half of the year, Phil, and I guess the footy world that don't know you closely are expecting a young team will drop off in the second half and get tired. Have you addressed that as a group, and what are you expecting in the second half?
Yeah, I think, you know, the thing that happens with us is that whatever the Gold Coast do the year before, we immediately get put in that sort of bracket, and that's what's going to happen. But you know, we, Leon and the group and the leadership group have been really firm on the fact that we expect to improve in the second half of the year. We, you know, certain parts of our game have probably slipped away a little bit, and they're very controllable. So we actually expect to play some better footy. We've obviously played some good footy in the first half of the year, but we've been really inconsistent. So we've had a really good bye, but two really good weeks of training, and you know, we expect to improve and play some really good footy and hopefully be pushing towards that sort of 12-13 win mark to play finals.
Phil Davis, very impressive, captain of the GWS Giants. Mate, you've done a good job, or the club has, at re-signing this host of big names, Bad Luck Warrior.
That's what I was going to ask.
And they are big names who would have had big currency in the market, and they've all been locked away, bar, now correct me if I'm wrong, Adam Treloar. Is the only one, is he?
And Stephen Kinglio is yet to re-sign
as
well.
Too. So how confident are you that you'll get their signatures?
Yeah, I think in particular Adam's come out and said how much he really enjoys being part of the footy club. He's been there from literally day one. He was one of the first players ever drafted. You know, he's a bloke from a big family, and you know, he just loves the footy club. So
Collingwood likes him, Phil?
Yeah, I would have thought most clubs would really like him. And obviously, Collingwood have, from all reports, they've got a bit of space. They said they've got a bucket for Dangerfield as well. So
Warrior has been on the record saying they've got 750 for him.
It's a fair bit of cash, isn't it? Mm-hmm. He's a very good player. You know, we won't be able to compete with that. But we hope that with the players we've been able to re-sign, that he might think that we're a good chance of success. Obviously, Collingwood are playing some good footy as well, and so are some other Victorian clubs, if that's where he wants to play. But you know, I'm very confident. You know, we're talking
have
about.
Have you spoken to him as the captain?
Oh, you know, I make sure that I let him know that we'd love him to stay. You know, we let him know that we think he's a big part of our future. He's obviously a star midfielder. You know, he's stuffing close, his break from stoppage is pretty special. So, you know, we make sure we let him know that we would love him to be there. You know, we don't want to put too much pressure on him, but we let him know that we'd love him to stay. And we're staying with Stephen. You know, Cogs is probably one of the lifebloods of the club. He's one of the most popular boys. The boys love him. He obviously, probably until this year, wasn't really purely cemented, to be perfectly fair, especially as some other blokes have improved at different rates. But he's sort of come in this year and probably played more of a negating role in that midfield and been getting the ball himself. And he's probably improved more than most other players. And, you know, I expect Stephen to sign, and I really hope Adam does as well.
Can you give us yourself,
just with your injuries, you've had some unlucky incidents happen, haven't you?
Yeah, I've had a few good ones.
It's really curtailed the continuity and the progress, and it must be hard, I'd imagine, as captain of a very young team to be off the field at a time when they really need
it. Yeah, it's been incredibly frustrating. I sort of find a different way to get injured. I think a few years ago I got tunnelled and broke the lower part of my back, and then last year got hit in the kidney, and then this year Trav just mauled me in the pocket and stuck my ankle. So that's just lessons. Don't run into 110 kilo blokes, really. But I was just being extremely frustrated. I sort of felt I was playing some pretty good footy this year and getting some good continuity and starting to make some good strides. And yeah, it's just frustrating. So sort of makes you sort of look at different ways to do different things. I've trying to get a bit more hands on and sort of trying to teach some of the young boys. We've got a good crop of young key backs, and yeah, so it's definitely been a frustrating period, but hopefully with a bit of luck I can get a bit of continuity, and hopefully, especially the next sort of few years, if the team continues to develop the way it looks like it might.
Phil, I'll try and ask a positive question instead of just stating the obvious. Leon Cameron, can you give us an insight? Because we always know he's affable, he's likeable.
Well, hang on, give us an insight
to your coach.
No, give us an insight on, we know his preparation, but can he get a bit gnarly?
A little.
Not bad.
Yeah, can you give him a clip? Like, because we all know him. He looks smooth and good-looking rooster, but can he give you one behind the ear hole?
Backing over it.
I thought this was going to be a positive question. Younger blokes. Nah,
he's a good coach.
He got a bit
I'll tell you one thing about Leon. I'd say is he's probably the best relationship sort of person. I mean, in terms of understanding players and getting it, but he definitely knows when to pull the trigger. I think he's thrown a few big words out. A few boys didn't know that were pretty nice, and but he does it very scarcely. That's the best thing about it. So if he gives you one, boy oh boy, have you earned it. And he doesn't miss. I've seen fingers pointed and some good quality words being used, but he does. He goes full ball when he goes.
We've got Phil Davis here now. We don't get a lot of exposure to the Giants boys for obvious reasons, but a very, very impressive man, intelligent, well-read, and a great judge of character. So only fair that you give the ratings for the Triple M commentary call team, because JB, as we said, has taken it's upon himself to just have a holiday. So he was our leader, but been relegated now to the bottom of the pile. So don't have to rate him.
Yeah, Big Jim, he'd lose marks. He always gets him in for not going to North Melbourne. I've never understood that.
He calls you a straight backer, he's down the bottom. But right now I'm getting... Brian got top votes from someone, so
Tony Armstrong? Is that Tony Armstrong that's given him top votes?
I prefer not to be involved.
Well, you had no say in it, Bristol, shut up. We are down the bottom of this one. This is Grant, Wolf, JB, Purple, Comet, Howie, Chu, Big Nose, Spart. Oh. Scott, your mom, Big Nose, the producer.
No, that's fair enough.
No, so away you go, Phil, just around the table here.
No, I love an underdog, so I'll get around Spud. Although, I tell you what, he stitches me in Golden Fist relentlessly.
Spud.
I don't think he watches Giants games, because I'm telling you, Heath Shaw is all Australian at the moment. I'm not sure if he's on a vote.
He has.
Spud.
I'm not sure if he's on a vote.
And you've got a vote, mate.
Oh. Well.
Have you been ignoring the GWS?
No,
I'll make a very good note of that for the next 10
Phil's
games,
not
Phil.
Playing, so
no, he'll be back. He said
just watching a month, Spud. Just watching about a month.
All right, I'll make sure in a month's time, but you've definitely had a couple of votes, mate. You were before you got your injury, of course. You're a huge hole in their team. Like, who's going to play in Rewalt today?
I must admit, we don't get exposed to the A team, as they call it, in Sydney. We get a lot of Troy Luff and the mob.
Oh! I'm still here, Luffy.
No, I love Luff. Luffy's a ripper.
Just a drive by.
No, we love it, mate. We love having you in here.
And, that's good, Phil.
So we like it. But roll the tape over that. Mate, good luck. Hope the injury comes good. And we'd be very interested to see how the Giants just conduct themselves on the biggest stage, because this is where you've got to get it done in weather conditions that you're not all that familiar with. So it's a big test all round.
Yeah, no, definitely. Hopefully the rain keeps on coming.
The ratings have come through at Triple M Footy. And what I'm going to have to do is... probably collate them and give you an overall.
Oh no! This is your interpretation. Of this.
Yeah, well, is how this works, BT. Yeah.
No, I can't, because there's that many to read out. I just can't read them out.
They do love ratings, though. The Wolfpack, don't they?
Oh, they love it.
They come from everywhere.
Yeah, Chaos wanted to know about the straight backers' wheels. We always ask about people's shoes. Well, he's actually had runners on Chaos, so don't need to worry about that. Bristol, what were you doing last night? You were calling the footy magnificently, which I love.
Okay.
I think you got here about 4:30. You whacked on a nice vest and a little badge, and you were doing a bit of moonlighting. moonlighting at the MCG.
Yeah, you've had your hair touched up a little bit.
Is that you, Bristol?
That's not me, Gary.
It looks like you, Brian.
Nah, come on.
You put a little wig on. You're moonlighting.
Oh, you get excited about that, Spud.
And, Brian, now we know why you get a car park. This is your work at the MCG before you come on.
That's we've just reposted that on at Triple M Footy.
David Hatley sent that through. And if you want to have a look.
It's a resemblance, isn't it?
If you want to have a look at Bristol's other job before he starts calling, then you can get on at Triple M Footy and have a look at it. Brian. Oh, dear me.
I'll tell you what, I was at Brian's place on Wednesday. It is looking magnificent.
Yeah.
And beautiful.
I'm going to get a farm, you know. Should I get one like Brian's?
Yes.
Buy mine.
I'll come and see if you've got a little bit.
I've got 100 acres.
I'm going to bring Anita out in 2 weeks' time.
Romsey?
No, Monageda.
Monageda.
But it's that north, though.
No, he's put an extension on at the back, and I hadn't seen it.
I'm not going out there.
It is the best view.
No, no.
It'll be open fire.
No, how many head can I run?
It's on the way to Kai.
Yeah, well, that's another reason I'm not going. No, it's going to be down near the beach.
No, this is out, and it's got a beautiful river running through the middle of the property.
Really?
It's drought-free.
I'm looking at one at Harawatta.
I was amazed, Brian. You've done an outstanding job with your property. No, in your house. I was blown away with the view.
Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Triple M rocks football.